Good morning. My name is Joel Hart. I am pastoral intern at Terre Haute Reformed Presbyterian Church at 1407 North 25th Street there in Terre Haute, Indiana. And this morning we are coming to Colossians chapter 1, Colossians 1, 1 through 14. And as we come to Colossians, note that Colossae was a small church in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And it appears that as Paul was writing to Colossians, writing the letter of Colossians, a false teaching had arisen in the church, a false view of knowledge, syncretism perhaps, with some views of Judaism that were impacting the church. And Paul in Colossians seeks to counter that false teaching by elevating the person of Jesus Christ. And that's even what we will see here in our passage this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thus far God's holy and inspired word, may He add its blessing to our lives. Mind the gap. Perhaps you have heard these words echoed in your ears as you stepped onto a train or subway car in a major city. Mind the gap. Three simple words that inform an audience of a dangerous gap between where they are and where they need to be. And as Paul writes to his Colossian audience, in some ways a similar thought is in his mind. Mind the gap. You see, there was a gap in the teaching of those around the Colossians that led to a great distortion of the person of Jesus Christ. And still, for those committed to Jesus Christ in that day and in our day, there remains a gap. A gap in our knowledge of Jesus that must be addressed. We must keep growing. We must keep advancing, seeking to know Jesus Christ in His person and in His work. And in our passage here this morning, Paul offers a two-part prayer that guides us in pursuing growth in Christ, in pursuing the resolution of that gap, if you will. And the first part of that prayer that becomes a guide to us is found in verses 3 through 8. In thankfulness for gospel accomplishment. Thankfulness for gospel accomplishment. Paul comes to the Colossian church and he allows them and he allows us to listen in on what he has been speaking to God about. For Paul, his theology is not simply the rhetoric of the classroom, but it's the rhetoric of the prayer room. The rhetoric of his own communion with God day by day. And what is it that he's thankful for? Primarily, he's thankful for this, that the gospel had come to the Colossian church. Consider verses 5 and 6. He says this, of this, that is the gospel, you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing. Paul is astounded in thankfulness that the gospel of Jesus Christ has come to Colossae. And what is this gospel? Look at the words he used to describe it. The word of the truth. The word of the truth. A confident, true word that the people of Jesus Christ can hold on to. false teachers would have come to the Colossian church and told them that the words they had believed were false, or perhaps insufficient, not full of truth. And for Paul, the idea is clear here, that the gospel is the truth. The gospel is founded on a true and certain foundation. And this word speaks clearly to our day as well. Today, the idea is perpetually under attack, that there is even such a thing as truth. That there is true truth, if you will, that can be found. Maybe you today are struggling to know if there is any truth value, if you will, in the Christian gospel. Well, friends, Paul anticipates this concern and he offers you today great news of Jesus Christ. He is the Word of truth. Christ's gospel is not a vain hope. It's not a mere idea or a collection of words. Christ's gospel is certain truth that has broken into our world. John in his gospel said this of Christ, that he was the true light which gives light to everyone, and he was coming into the world. Jesus would later pray that this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. The truth that reaches through the ages is this: Jesus Christ came. He died, He rose again, and He ascended for sinners like you and me. And as we continue in Colossians, we see that the hope is only built by this reality found in verse 6, that the gospel is bearing fruit and increasing. Again, think of the church here, a small church in a small town. Perhaps they would have wondered, did we just hear some off word by a messenger who came through, and is this word really having an impact in other places? And Paul is saying, absolutely it is. It's bearing fruit and increasing throughout the whole world. And that's the way of the Word of God. When the Word of God comes to people, when the truth of Jesus Christ comes, people's lives are changed. And it's easy to look around the world from country to country, from continent to continent, and see how the gospel indeed is bearing fruit and increasing. And look at the fruit it was bearing even in the life of the Colossian church. How thankful Paul is for this. Verses 4 and 5. What had the gospel produced? Faith in Christ Jesus. Love for the saints. Hope laid up in heaven. Perhaps you remember 1 Corinthians 13, that great chapter on love. And what is it that Paul had said remained? Or of these three things remains, he said, faith, hope, and love. Well, you see, that's exactly what remained or had been produced in the Colossian church. Faith in Jesus Christ. Love for the saints. Love for God's people. And a hope laid up in heaven. Not simply a hope as in a well wish, but a fixed reality that in heaven there was a place prepared for them. The facts of the gospel events, the facts of the death and resurrection of Christ, have produced an experience, a reality in the life of believers. Faith, hope, and love. Do you need something to be thankful for today? Are you looking for something on which you can say, I am thankful for this? Well, hear this, the gospel works. The gospel changes lives. Scattered in towns and nations across our world are men and women who have come into contact with Jesus Christ, and in them is produced faith, hope, and love. And as we seek to grow in our breaching of that gap, we must grow in thanking our God. Thank our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for what His gospel has produced. And that really, though, leads us to the second part of the prayer. The second part of our growth. We don't simply thank God for gospel accomplishments, but we pray for gospel growth. Pray for gospel growth. And this is found in verses 9 through 14. Paul, in his prayers, is not simply content with what's happened in the Colossian church. He longs for more. He longs for that gap to be filled, for more growth in Jesus. And he outlines for us the type of things he's been praying for, and it's rich and it's full. In many ways, he's praying for the full experience of the Christian life to take place in the believers here. With Jesus Christ at the center, One commentator illustrates Jesus Christ at the center like a wheel, with Christ at the center of the wheel and the life of the Christian flowing from the wheel, center of the wheel like spokes. Well, the spokes of the wheel are given to us here. There's really four components of the Christian life that are given. Verse 9, we see first that we are filled with the knowledge of His will. Filled with the knowledge of the will of God. False teachers in the Colossian church would seek to profess that to be filled, members of the church would need another form of knowledge. And a great theme of Colossians is that fullness is found in God. The opportunity to know His will. Now, knowing His will here is not referring to knowing the secret plans of God for our life, but knowing God's purpose in terms of how we would obey Him. Really, to know His will is to know His word to us, to know the truth of God. And what a thrill this is, that we have God's truth, God's will revealed to us in His word. And so we have every reason to come to His word each and every day. It is not a bare word, it's not an empty page, but it is a living page that builds in us wisdom, spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the first component of prayer here, of longing, is to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Second thing we see is bearing fruit in every good work. Verse 10, you see three phrases here all tied to our own living for Jesus Christ. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. All these referring to our responding by living for God in a right way. And note the parallel to verses 3 through 8. In verse 3 through 8, we saw the great fruit of the gospel. Verse 6, the gospel was bearing fruit and increasing. Now, in the later portion of this passage, it's the believer who bears fruit. The gospel comes to us and bears fruit in our hearts, and then we go live in this world and become fruit bearers for our living God. It's not simply a one-way street. Remember the word of Jesus Christ that He said to His disciples before He left. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Jesus Christ purposed that men and women that came to Him would go and bear fruit. He is the vine, and we are the branches, and the branches produce lush and full fruit because the gospel has borne great fruit in our lives. And what a joy that is for us. But Paul doesn't end there in his prayer for us. He continues, verse 11, prays that we would endure patiently. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Paul prays that we endure, and this is where it gets challenging. Not simply that we would bear fruit one day or bear fruit another day, but that we would endure, that we would carry on, that we would keep living for Christ. But right when he gets to this challenge, note the words he uses that strengthen us for the fights. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His, that is God's, glorious might. Power language here. Strength, power, glorious might. You see, when it comes to the trial of endurance, the struggle we face to carry on, it is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead that now works in you to endure. We are wearying, fading, struggling, enduring Christians. And we have a strong, powerful God of glorious might to strengthen us for the fight. And this gives us every reason to carry on. And if you feel that you are weary in carrying on, pray with Paul here. Pray with Paul, say, God, would you strengthen me with this power? Would you give me a sense of your glorious might that I would carry on in serving you? And as we carry on, there's a fourth component of the Christian growth that comes here, and it is really returning us to the start of the passage. It is that of giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to the Father, found in verse 12 to 14, Paul returns us to the heart of the gospel. And he's praying that the church would be returned to that as well. Paul knows, and you know, and I know, that the ings, the doings, the enduring and the bearing fruit of the Christian life can be tiring. And they can begin even to focus on ourselves and what we are trying to accomplish. And so as Paul ends this prayer, he turns our focus right back to the work of our God. He turns us back to the gospel. And our call is simply to give thanks. And what a gospel this is. What a gospel he turns us back to. We give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints and lights. He, God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. You see, it's not our initiative here that we're thanking God for, but it's the initiative of a loving Father who reaches out to us. He accomplishes the great transfer. He accomplishes the great redemption. The language here reminds us even of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. There they were in that dark land, oppressed by a wicked power, needing redemption, needing to be drawn out. And there, at the Red Sea, God drew the people through to Himself. But here, it's not simply water and a foreign enemy that God deals with. It's our sin that God deals with. And it's the cross of Jesus Christ that we give thanks for. For there on that cross, where Jesus cried out, "It is finished," He accomplished that great redemption and brought to us the forgiveness of our sins. We are transferred. We are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We are no longer those people walking around in darkness longing for light. We have been transferred. We have been brought forth into the kingdom of the beloved Son of even the Lord Jesus Christ. We are redeemed at the cross. Our sin is paid for at the cross. We are forgiven at the cross. We are made servants at the cross. And we then become those who give thanks continually to this Father. And this takes us right back to that gap, doesn't it? You see, there are gaps in our knowledge of God. There are things that we still need to grow in. We will spend our whole lives and even eternity growing in the knowledge of God. But as false teachers come around in the Colossians day or in our day saying that the work of God is insufficient, Paul comes here and says loudly and firmly, there is no gap in the work of our triune God. He has already breached the gap. He's breached the gap. He's reached down from heaven high and drawn us to Himself through the cross. Jesus Christ came and breached the gap. He transferred us from darkness. And He's made us now saints in light. And this is where we walk and we pray from this perspective. We grow from this perspective in terms of what God has already done. We don't need to go anywhere else. So you this morning don't need to search for other knowledge. You don't need to go around trying every opportunity that presents itself to gain some extra knowledge. Christ brings the knowledge of God to you, and you can pray this morning that more of that would be brought to you. You don't need to bear fruit for your own purposes. You don't need to live for yourself and accomplish anything on your own. You could bear fruit for the risen and glorious Jesus Christ. What better fruit would there be to bear? You don't need to give in and cease enduring. Say, "I've fought for so long, but it's too hard. The road is too tiresome." You have the power of Jesus Christ that enables you to endure. His glorious might can carry you through. So you pray for this and ask that God would grant that to you. And you don't need to live as though you are in darkness. The Father, through Christ, has brought you into His glorious light. And that light that you are brought into now is the same light that you will walk with God forever with in heaven. You will be brought into His light, so you have every reason to give thanks to the Father. to remain with Jesus Christ. Be thankful for what He has done. Look back on what has happened. Look back on the work of the gospel and say, thank you, Lord, for this accomplishment. And then, like Paul, look forward and pray. Pray that God would build you up, that you would grow and advance in the knowledge of God. Pray and long for Jesus Christ, because you have a hope laid up in heaven for you. So trust in this Christ and believe in Him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank You for His accomplishment. We pray that You would build us up in knowing Him and bearing fruit for Him and enduring for the sake of Your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. This is Joel Hart, at pastoral intern at Terre Haute Reformed Presbyterian Church there on 25th Street in Terre Haute. We have worship at 10:45 and classes before that at 9:30 on Sunday morning. We'd love to have you join us. Thank you for listening. You did it.